Hi, welcome to this episode of the Will to Give podcast. My name is Claire Smith and I'm your host for today's episode. Will to Give is made up of an ever-growing group of Northern Ireland charities who have come together with one aim, to promote gifts and wills to all charities right here in Northern Ireland. Member charities cover a broad range of causes and are of every size and scale. And we have grown considerably since our inception in January 2011. Today, we have almost 70 active charity members whose representatives meet on a monthly basis. Here at Will to Give, we are utilising our collective strength and skills to influence key audiences in our community. We want to ensure that charitable giving through wills becomes much more of a social norm here in Northern Ireland. We simply want more people to have the will to give to help Northern Ireland charities achieve even more. On this episode of the Will to Give podcast, we were joined by Marcus from the Community Foundation. Marcus joined us via Zoom and the sound quality is not great, but hopefully you will still enjoy the episode. We're delighted to have Marcus from the Community Foundation join us for today's episode of the Will to Give podcast. Marcus, I know we're going to go over this a bit later in the interview, but can you start by telling me a bit more about the Community Foundation and your role there?
Sure, Claire. The Community Foundation is a local independent funder of the volunteering community sector. We were established 40 years ago in 1979. And last year, we gave out over £7 million to 1,000 different organisations and charities in Northern Ireland. We actually reached about 1 in 8 of the population. So we work in partnership with communities, encouraging them to be proud of who they are and what they've achieved, and then with donors and funders, so to connect them to the people and projects who are transforming our communities. My role is Fund Development Manager there, and I advise and support individuals, families, companies, and other trusts to give effectively. And that can be through donations, company, community funds, or through a gift in their will. We actually manage about 60 different, over 60 different funds for individuals and companies and legacies.
Wow. And you're here today to chat to us about a very special trust that's recently become part of the Community Foundation family. And the reason why we've asked you along to chat to us today is because this trust started its life as a gift in a will. Is that right?
Yes. It's called the Gills Charity Fund. And it came about originally through the will of Mr. Henry Gill, who was an alderman of Carrickfergus and had a businessman and had done very well in his life. He'd actually died in September 1761, so 260 years ago. And within his will, it stipulated that a charity be established from the residual value of his estate to be used for the annual supports and maintenance of 14 aged men decayed in their circumstances and that are not able to get a maintenance to themselves. So it's quite archaic language in a document that old. Yeah. To have been born in the town and parish of Carrickfergus, at any time we're not to have been inclined to idleness or drunkenness. So it was all very specific.
As you say, it's really, really quite specific, isn't it? And the language is so interesting. Have you actually had a chance to read the document, the will itself?
Yes, I have read the original will, and it is fascinating, as well as outlining who should receive the sword, waistcoat, diamond cut stones, stone buttons set in gold. You do see that he's very charitably minded. For instance, he gave £500 to St. Patrick's Hospital in Dublin, which is about 100,000 in today's money. And it doesn't say why he did this, but it did appear that he had relatives living there. And I think one of the things that really shines through is his attachment to his hometown of Carrickfergus. You can see through his will that he wanted to continue to support the place and people of Carrick after his death. I suppose that he had recognised that he'd done well in life and wanted to give back to his roots.
Do we know how he made his fortune at all? Is that documented?
No, I don't actually. I don't have that detail, unfortunately.
But it is pretty incredible that, you know, a gift and a will made, what, nearly 300 years ago is still going today.
Yeah, yeah. Within the will, it's very specific about the trustees and, you know, that they obviously have certain powers and responsibilities to bring on new trustees and to invest that original will, that original residual value of the will, and to give out the interest from that every year to support people. Yeah, it's fascinating to actually have to now be in charge of a gift and a will that's 260 years old. Yeah,
and you just mentioned the trustees there. So how have they over the years brought on new trustees? Has it stayed? Is there any original family members still involved, or has that long since passed?
No, there's no original family members, and indeed I'm not sure if there ever were. I'm not sure what his family circumstances were, but the original three trustees mentioned in the will don't appear to be related to Mr. Gill. So they will just have, as the trustees got older, they will have identified other suitable candidates within Carrickfergus and brought them, voted them on to the trust board.
And that they would have all been voluntary roles, is that right?
Yes, absolutely, completely voluntary roles, as most boards of charities run as well nowadays.
And, you know, we've talked a little bit about what his initial focus was and the language that was used and how it was quite specific. Obviously, that will have changed over the years. Can you give me a bit of background of, you know, kind of the areas that have been focused on with the trust?
Yeah, so originally the trust would have been set up, and it was quite geographically specific. So it would have just been for those 14 aged men within the town and parish of Carrickfergus, but certainly obviously times have changed. There's been changes in society and our understanding of charitable objects as well, and there is that sort of statutory requirement now of public benefit that all charities must demonstrate, one of the 12 main purposes. So the trust has evolved over that time. They have extended their geographical reach, so they now will fund any group within the parish, within the borough of Carrickfergus, and then they also extended the objects. So though keeping reference to the original intention, but now it's expanded out to support the elderly in Carrickfergus.
Okay, interesting. And the trust have obviously come to you guys quite recently then. Has it been a longish process to bring the Gills charity into the Community Foundation, or what's the sort of process that has gone through for them to have made that decision?
Well, the trustees approached us just over 2 years ago now, so it's taken a little bit of time just to get through it, but it's obviously the trustees need to have a reason for closing, and in this case it was that they were just finding it more and more difficult to bring to get new trustees to take on the role. They were also finding it difficult to actually, as many of them were getting quite elderly, they were finding it difficult to identify groups and organisations that they could fund. I suppose a lot of people think it's easy to give away money, but at the foundation we've discovered that sometimes it can be more difficult than many people think. So they approached us. We had a number of conversations with them to see if the Community Foundation would be a good home for the Gills charity. After a number of discussions, then the trustees decided that they would go ahead and contact the Charity Commission and to see if they could move the Gills Charity Trust into a fund which sits within the endowment of the Community Foundation. All our funds have their own objects and purposes, and we then run them according to the to those purposes.
So the trust itself, it didn't actively fundraise, is that right? And if it didn't, then how has it managed to last so long?
No, they wouldn't have been a fundraising charity as such. They would originally have taken the residual value of the estate and invested it. And then over the years, the grants that the trust have given out have been from the interest on those investments each year. So in recent years, it's been about £10,000 that they will have distributed each year within Carrick.
And how much would they normally have given out for each individual award as such? Would it, you know, did they have a maximum or a minimum, or was it just dependent on the application?
They tried to spread the grants out quite a bit. So they would have given usually between £300 and £600 out to individual organisations.
Excellent.
And they did support a good range as well within the area. Again, anything that was providing support and activities to senior citizens in the borough, and that could have been the Blind Centre, the Railway Preservation Society, Action Cancer, a number of local, you know, organisations that were based and providing services locally.
I'm sure they're very much loved in the local area then.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, everybody knew that the trust was there and that it would open once a year and that they could. They also knew the trustees, you know, were local people, and that they could, you know, get in touch with them and speak to them whenever they wanted to. So I suppose that the foundation were keen to continue that contact as well. And again, the fund will open once a year, and people can get in touch with us at any time just to get details about that.
That was going to be my next question. I was going to ask you what the application process was going to be like, but it sounds obviously quite similar to what was in place previously then.
Yeah, the fund this year will open on the 1st of March, and it'll be open for the month of March. And the best place to get information and details about it will be just to go onto our website, which is communityfoundationni.org. And on there you'll see what the who can apply, you know, what size of grants are available, and the purpose of the fund as well. And the sort of projects that we're looking for will be, you know, anything really that reduces isolation and vulnerability of older people, hopefully, you know, through supporting participation activities, encouraging and supporting the independence of older people, improving their health and well-being, and just engaging older people to take community action. But there'll be a range of different examples on the website as well. So I would encourage people to go there and to take a look at that on the 1st of March if they are based in Carrickfergus, or if they're an organisation who are providing services in Carrick.
Excellent. We can share the links as well from our end. I'm sure you guys are pretty excited to have such a historic fund part of the Community Foundation family now.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, it's certainly the oldest gift in a will that we've received, and we're really delighted to be able to continue to fulfill Henry Gill's wishes and keep them relevant into the future. And I suppose the Community Foundation seems like a natural home for the fund. We are trusted by many organisations to make a donation for the future of their community or place or areas of interest. And while Henry Gill's gift was large, it doesn't really matter how much you wish to leave, we will ensure that it makes a difference to your community.
We invited you along today as part of our Will to Give Week for 2021 series of kind of activities that we're going to get up to. It's amazing to think that somebody's gift in a will nearly 300 years later is still making a difference in the local community that he obviously thought so highly of.
Yeah, no, of course. And it's, I think it's just that flexibility as well, you know, that although it was quite restrictive and specific at the start, that the trustees over the years have, you know, made sure that it's remained relevant, and now that it's sitting within the Community Foundation, we'll continue to do that whilst recognising his original wishes. And I suppose that's, again, a big benefit of working with us, and that we can adapt and change.
And, you know, you've already touched on this, but I'm just going to highlight that, you know, we know that not all estates are going to be large enough to create a trust or a charity in its own right. That this was a very special and a, you know, very unique situation, but a gift of any size in your will to your favourite charity really will make a difference.
Yeah, I think so, Claire. And even within the foundation, I mean, we have many gifts that are, you know, coming in much, you know, maybe £2,000 or £3,000, and we can always work with donors just to make sure that we meet their needs and you know, see to their wishes going forward. So, and I think any gift in a will is always gratefully accepted by the Community Foundation or by any charity in Northern Ireland.
I think it's good maybe to highlight as well, you know, we can see that Henry Gill was quite specific about his requirements, you know, back in 1761 and how society has changed so much. And it's just maybe a little bit of advice for people who are considering leaving a gift in their will right now, that maybe they have, you know, a very specific element of the charity's work that they like. But that's not to say that that element of work will still be happening, you know, when their gift and will comes into play. So it's always good to kind of just give flexibility to the charity or to the trust to make those decisions based on society as it is, or, you know, the needs of the charity at that particular time.
Yeah, I think so. It's certainly, and it may be that the charity doesn't even exist when your will kicks in as well. So it's useful maybe just to remember that and to be flexible as well, and whether that's maybe towards a cause or a place as much as anything. But yeah, certainly probably best to try not to restrict it too much.
Mm. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Will to Give podcast. It's been really interesting to hear about Henry Gill and the gift that he left in his will. Just out of interest, do you know where the actual will is stored now? Is it still available?
I know the trustees originally were looking to lodge many of the documents with Prony. So I'm assuming that's where it is now, yes.
I'm sure there'll be people who would be interested in seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining us, Marcus, for this episode of the Will to Give podcast.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Will to Give podcast. For more information about the Gills Trust, visit communityfoundationni.org. For more information about Will to Give, you can visit willtogive.org. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for all our latest news. Until the next time.